Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello and welcome in. It is the Monday edition of The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. I'm Dan Peck. Bill Cameron will be with us shortly. I think he's waiting on his car to be ready, but he should be here. Shouldn't miss too much of the show, so we'll have Bill in the studio when he's available. In the meantime, Brian Matthews, it is Monday, so we might get a visit from our buddy Brian as well. SEC men's basketball tournament action coming up later this week. Auburn and opponent TBD on Friday after Auburn concluded the regular season this past Saturday with a victory at home over the Georgia Bulldogs. Could be Vanderbilt, could be Arkansas, could be South Carolina as Auburn's opponent on Friday. We'll have that game for you on Wings 94.3 as we love carrying the Auburn men's basketball on Wings 94.3. We've done it all season long. Let's see here. 334-321-1390. That is the number if you'd like to join in on the conversation and the Drive hotline presented by our friends at Skybar Cafe. You can text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. Again, the podcast all presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And we'd love to. I mean, we're going to get into couple of different. I mean, there's spring football stuff going on with the now that spring break is over. There will be we got player interviews tomorrow. We have coaches on Wednesday, defensive coaches this week. So we should have some audio for you as well as Auburn continues its spring practice in anticipation of the spring football game, which is the first week of April. April 6th, Auburn will be having its, it's actually just 9 days before the spring portal opens as well. So you've got a, yeah, it should be a busy next couple of weeks as we hear stories about players that are stepping up, and then we'll see who we'll see what additions there are to the team or departures from the team following spring practice when the portal opens up second half of the month of April. I wasn't supposed to be here today. I should point that out, right? I mean, I missed Friday's show. There was the hope that I would miss today's show as well. Not the way things worked out for the Troy Trojans women's basketball team, as the Trojans were defeated in the quarterfinals Friday night. Louisiana Raging Cajuns beat us. Close game. Didn't go Troy's way in the final minutes as the Cajuns advanced to the semifinals. The final just went final. As a matter of fact, as Marshall, the one seed in overtime, knocks off James Madison in Pensacola. So the Marshall Thundering Herd win the Sun Belt tournament. They will be headed to the NCAAs. Probably as I would guess a 13 seed is sort of what I'm thinking based on some of the projections I've seen. We'll see how it turns out. Auburn, the Auburn women's basketball team, likely to make the NCAAs. We'll find that out this weekend. But that's a development, hopefully, that they that Coach Jay in year three, she has been able to climb that hill with her program. Then question is what happens inside the tournament. But Auburn won a game last week in Greenville, beat Arkansas before falling to LSU. Interesting LSU South Carolina game we got yesterday with some shoving and some ejections. The announcers clarified, but at first the announcer said that everyone who had been ejected from the game. So there was a, if you don't know what I'm talking about, there was a shove at the end of the LSU and South Carolina game when the when an LSU player shoved a smaller South Carolina player, and then a big South Carolina player came over and said, "Oh, you like to shove, do you?" And shoved shoved the LSU player to the ground. The LSU players, I mean, there was a skirmish in as they. As they, you know, there was a lot of talking on the court, a lot of back and forth. The brother of an LSU player jumped over the scorer's table and went on the court. He was arrested for trespassing and disorderly conduct, maybe assault as well. Maybe he put his hands, on somebody and was arrested for assault as well. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm surprised LSU hasn't said something about whether or not he's available to, you know, whether or not he's welcome at any games moving forward or anything. I guess you have to wait until the legal process settles it, but that was a harrowing scene that probably could have been a lot worse. I mean, you think about when fans are coming on the court, police had to intervene very quickly. I mean, there was a lot of it was a different situation than what you're used to in the final of an SEC women's basketball tournament. South Carolina won that game. The correction was that the ejected, so the bench is cleared. There was not fighting, but both bench, you know, players left the bench to get closer to and everyone who left the bench by rule was ejected. Initially in the broadcast, there was the belief that everyone ejected was going to be ineligible for the first round of the NCAA tournament, which, I mean, LSU and South Carolina were both looking like one seeds. If you put them, suddenly they have to play with five eligible players, you know, that becomes a little bit dicey as far as what the postseason could look like. But that's not the rule. The rule is that anybody involved in the fight directly, I believe the South Carolina player who was ejected for shoving, I believe she is suspended for the rest of the for the first round of the tournament, but everybody else is eligible. But Auburn's women most likely in the draw. We'll find out on Selection Sunday where they're going, just like we will find out where the Auburn men are going. Auburn's men are I think a lot of folks have them as a 4 or a 5. It depends on it's close. You know, are they going to be the last 4 seed in the draw, the top 5 seed in the draw, something like that? You know, where could they go? Is it going to be nearby? Is it going to be far away? You know, that's all sorted out. Auburn can impact their draw with their performance this weekend in Nashville. I mean, they'll have a first round matchup against either Vanderbilt, Arkansas, or South Carolina. If the chalk holds, the semifinal game would be against Tennessee. Wins in those games would impact where the tournament puts you. You know, where the committee views you. So yeah, a lot of bad. And then of course, winning the tournament outright would goose Auburn's seeding as well, if they can pull that off. 334-321-1390. We can fix that, Drew. 334-321-1390. Let's get to Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, who has just joined the studio. Brian, great to see you after a busy last couple of days for you.
Yeah, it's great to be in. It should be a interesting week of Auburn sports, and of course, we're here to answer all your questions on Kate Middleton and the latest. Things happening over there across the pond.
No, it's all Oscars today, buddy. It's all Oscar reaction stuff today. Right. Did you watch a second of last night's Oscars?
I've watched maybe 30 to 45 minutes.
I thought it was a heck of a show.
There are years
where I've come away thinking, you know, that I thought they did a really good. You know what they didn't do this year that in the past has been just a real, like the video packages. That's like, hey, let's have a long salute to. The musicals, or let's have a long salute to the silent movie era or something like that. Like I understand that a lot of it is about saluting movie history, but I think they did a good job sort of keeping it as light and as entertaining as possible. Kept the show moving. There's a lot of awards to give out, but I thought it was, and the I'm Just Ken was you know, one of the better musical numbers I've seen at an award show ever. The Ryan Gosling performance from his song from Barbie. So no, I thought it was a pretty good show. All things considered, happy to see Godzilla finally win after 80 years or something first time a Godzilla movie has ever won an Oscar. Visual effects for Godzilla Minus One. So yeah, lots of cool stuff last night. But Brian, you've been consuming sports all weekend, right? Did you get to go to the ballpark for any of the action this weekend?
I was there for baseball, and of course I watched basketball. So a lot of good stuff happening, I thought.
We'll be talking with Cooper McMurray today as part of our Tiger Takes, our new baseball Tiger Takes guest, first edition of Tiger Takes for baseball season. We'll be talking with Cooper throughout the season. You've talked with Cooper before. What should we expect in the big power hitter?
I mean, he's just a great young man, first of all. and he absolutely obliterated the baseball on Sunday. I think it was three doubles and a home run, if I remember correctly. And just a really, you know, as a baseball player, he's very good defensively. Good leader for the team. Sits right there in the middle of the order there. And, you know, I just think he does a great job.
Talk with Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here on the Monday edition of The Drive. Yeah, Cooper McMurray is going to be a part of our part of our Monday lineup. Really looking forward to adding a Cooper to the fold here on The Drive. We've been really lucky with Tiger Takes athletes so far because we talked with, what was it, Sonny and Zepp Jasper, John Samuel Schenker, Eugene Asante this past year. Dylan Cardwell has been great. All, like, we've gotten really lucky with the athletes that we've had since we started this Tiger Takes thing, and I imagine Cooper McMurray will be no exception to that. So looking forward to our first conversation with Auburn's big power hitter, Cooper McMurray, in hour number two here on the Monday edition of The Drive. How you feeling about Auburn's men's basketball team coming out of the win over Georgia with Nashville on the docket before they go to the NCAAs? I mean, this is a team that seems to be finding, I mean, especially when you think about the stuff that had been concerns earlier in the year, the things that, you know, especially after losses, that people would harp on. I remember when folks were really worried about shot selection and how, you know, it seemed like Auburn wasn't working to turn good shots into great shots. Auburn wasn't sharing the ball like a great team. The last couple of games, and especially Saturday, the way Auburn worked the ball to get great shots for players. I mean, more assists than we've seen in any game in the Bruce Pearl era.
29.
So many of them were bigs passing out of trouble down low to open shooters on the perimeter. And when teams are doing that effectively and hitting the perimeter shots, it's a tough puzzle to solve.
I love everything about this Auburn basketball team right now. I think they are hitting their stride at the perfect time of the season. They have won four of five games going into the postseason. That loss was at the top team in the conference on the road where they were leading by, I think it was 7 or 8. Was it midway through the second half, if I'm not mistaken? My memory's not so good sometimes. But
talking about at Tennessee?
Yes.
Yeah, that was
an
Auburn lead with about 10 minutes left.
Yeah. They've got guys like Chad Baker-Mazzara, like Denver Jones, like Chaney Johnson, all starting to play their best basketball this season, starting to either with Cheney come out of his shell and grow confidence.
I'd add Holloway to that list.
Yes.
I mean, you're talking about the first year guys, the four guys that weren't on last year's team that Auburn counts on a lot. Chad, Cheney, Denver, and Aiden. Yep. All of them have played some of their best basketball of the season over the last 2 weeks.
Yep. Denver has put so much work into defending and being that guy, and now you finally see the offense and the confidence there coming through with the shot. And although he didn't necessarily do it against Georgia, he can drive and finish that way too. That's a part of his game that he has.
When you have to worry about Denver and Aiden and Chad from the perimeter because of what Jalen and Janai represent.
And Janai too.
And Jalen. Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, Auburn can run lineups out there with five guys who are capable of hitting an open 3-point shot.
Yep.
And some of the percentages. I mean, Denver was white hot on Saturday. I did the math. Since February 1st, Chad is 15 of 28 from three, and that's factoring in that he went 0 for 2 against Georgia.
Yep.
So Chad was 15 of 26 from three in 9 games in the month of February, or starting February 1st. I mean, he's peaking. That's a guy who's been in the NCAA tournament before, so he knows what he's got to line up to make things happen in the postseason. But no, I think it's promising to see the players who are in their first year round into form or peak at the right time. I think that's a promising development.
I mean, Chaney Johnson was really tentative coming off the bench, I thought, the first half of the season. And when Jalen got injured and Chaney was able to start, I just think that opened up some things for him. He gained more confidence. And now when he comes off that bench, he is being an impact player. He's looking for a shot. He's making plays. I would still worry about going up against a team with really good guard play and maybe some longer guards that can defend really well. But, you know, Auburn's also got a really good inside-out game, too, that can help alleviate some of that if they can get to it. So I think Auburn has some answers for that, and I think this team is capable of making a run here. You know, you never know sometimes, right? You can be really good and on a roll, and you could just run into the wrong matchup in round two or something of the NCAA tournament. But I like Auburn right now, and I think they've got a pretty good chance to win the SEC tournament.
Oh, we've seen teams, you know, peaking at the right time that run into the wrong matchup in round one, and the bubble bursts, and so
you
never know how tournament basketball is going to turn out. Bruce doesn't want to talk about next year.
Right.
There's a lot of basketball to be played. I'll talk about next year a little bit. I mean, the guys we were just talking about, Chad and Chaney and Denver Jones, all of them have eligibility remaining, could be back for at least one more year. Aiden Holloway and Trey Donaldson both, if they want to stick around, you know, you're in the. And then the big one is, I mean, Jahni Broome has an extra year of eligibility if he wants to utilize it. Jahni Broome has the COVID year. He could play a fifth year of college basketball. The question is whether or not that's the best thing for him with an NBA future potentially. Those are questions for after the season is over. I do think that if Auburn brought back everybody they could bring back to next year's team, they're a preseason top five team. Like, I think if you bring back everybody who could come back from this year's team, you did what you did this year, and you could have a starting five returning. Not the starting five, but you could have five guys who played a lot as your. I mean, if you're talking about Trey, Aiden, Denver, Chad, Chaney, and Jahni, you bring back everyone from that list, you're a preseason top five team.
You bring back everyone from that list, your NIL has exploded over the past year.
I think you'll bring back a very good percentage of that, a good free throw shooting percentage of that, but it won't be a perfect six for six.
I don't think there's anybody predicting Jahni Broome plays college basketball next year.
No.
If you had to guess,
he came very close to not returning this past year, and then he is a first team all conference player and one of the best players in the league, the best center in the league.
And there very well could be very serious NBA considerations him after this season, the way he's transferred. And that's something else. Bill Cameron, by the way, joining us.
I was over at one of our favorite places, Franklin Tire. Let me tell you what, I was done just about the time the show started. Welcome back, students.
Yeah.
You cannot get anywhere.
I bumped into some train traffic on the way here, and I was worried.
We hit that on the way in to pick up the vehicle, and then sorry about that. Sorry about being a little bit late. What a beautiful day.
But I think the players who, I mean, you're talking about the first year guys. I mean, Chaney has evolved his game.
Chaney now has the confidence to go along with the ability that everyone who had watched the preseason practices was talking about.
And there's nobody on the team who has changed their game more since arrival than Jahni. If you think about what Jahni was.
Jahni was a back-to-the-basket guy. You've seen him become such a complete player now.
I remember watching Jahni briefly when he was at Moorhead and then seeing him early in his Auburn career. Jahni Broome was a rim-running, really aggressive shot blocker. And the way he's changed his game with the ball, I mean, his passing has improved greatly in 2 years. His ability to score from the perimeter, his ability to
he'd never hit a three.
I don't know yet.
He might be Auburn's most consistent three-point shooter. Like, when he sets his feet, he's going to make it a lot of the time.
He is a 40-plus percent three-point shooter.
His ability to score near the basket with both hands has improved a lot. His defense away from the basket. Remember how early in his career, he wouldn't want to leave the paint.
Uh-huh.
He'd want to be, you know, he was really focused on blocking shots and protecting the rim. He's willing to come out and defend guys at the three-point line, and he's comfortable doing that. I just think it's a testament to him. And it's also a reminder that there's more to this coaching game than just convincing players to come play for you.
Yeah, right.
There's more to this than just accumulating the best talent out there and letting them go. You don't want to only be a developer. You also need to be able to get the players in, because you can't start from zero. But there's some development required, and Bruce Pearl and his staff have shown, even with veterans, that there's some real development happening at Auburn.
That's absolutely right. Yeah.
All right, we need to get to our first break of the afternoon. Love to hear from you. We see the lines, the phone lines starting to light up, and that number to get you through on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, is 334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break as we're just underway here on the Monday Drive.
It's time to stop dealing with unreliable network companies.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email TheDrive at ESPNAU.com.
And we're back.
Welcome back into The Drive. 24 minutes after 4 o'clock here on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody had a nice weekend or spring break. For those of you, as I said a little while ago, welcome back. A lot more folks in town. You can tell spring break is over.
I hope everybody got some really good fresh fish down at the beach. Enjoy. Maybe got some rays.
Yeah, I guess.
Drink a few margaritas.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah,
hope
you
so.
Know, it was.
Let me tell you relax, what we enjoyed you being gone. No. The weather, it's great to have everybody back.
Weather was nice, a little overcast the time I spent in Pensacola, so it was.
You didn't spend as much time in Pensacola as I thought you were going to.
That's pretty accurate.
When I saw your car as I was coming back from the doubleheader
on Saturday,
I went, oh, that's not good.
That's probably
not good. I don't think Dan caught a ride. I think he was driving.
No, yeah. I in fact was driving. I thought about staying for the men's game on Saturday because Troy got eliminated Friday night.
Yeah, it's tough when your team loses to want to hang around.
Yeah, and then the Troy men also eliminated in the quarterfinals on Saturday. So a quick one game each for the Trojans. Great regular seasons. You know, they were able to. They finished in the top four in the Sun Belt in the men's and women's game, but just wasn't in the cards in the postseason. It's a great event. There was a bit, I would say, one complaint, Bill.
What's that?
And it's not the reason Troy lost. I don't want to make excuses here. There was a big problem with moisture on the court.
Oh,
it's an ice rink.
Yes.
You've been to the Pensacola Bay Center many times.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be willing. And again, I'm not an economist. I don't know these things, but you need to be willing to make that arena about 60 degrees. It needs to be. You need to keep that thing frosty in order to keep the court safe. You need because the moisture's got to go somewhere. You got humidity outside the building. You know, you got players
you're down there on the water. So
you got to keep that thing. You got to keep that place polar. It's got to feel like a meat locker. And that's probably expensive. That's probably keeping the AC in an arena like that in the 50s or 60s, it was probably closer to the mid 70s inside the building, and that led to just constant men's throughout the weekend. People were slipping. They had people trying the mops.
Yeah, somebody could blow out a knee though. It's like that.
I mean, so I just hope that's something that they consider for next year, and because there are basketball arenas in Pensacola. UWF has a gym. I mean, there are places you could play. Not that I'm advocating for this, but it was a safety issue, and I think that's something that probably needs to be addressed urgently.
Man, that is tough. We'd love to hear from you. Your thoughts on the wrap up of the regular season here in the Southeastern Conference as we get ready for the SEC tournament. Anything you want to talk about sports wise? Football practice will resume again tomorrow. You mentioned Cooper McMurray, and we'll talk with him with Tiger Takes this afternoon. Yeah, Brian, the other day he had three doubles and a homer, and two doubles and a homer in the first three innings.
Yeah.
All against lefties.
Yeah.
All against lefties.
He was swinging it. That's
well, it
for
was
sure.
it was
so
crazy.
Pretty much everybody on the team was.
It was crazy. It was crazy yesterday.
24
right,
to 5.
Yeah. Let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Yellowhammer gets us started. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. So two things. First thing, Brian, you're talking about Auburn seems to be improved to the point that they're hitting their stride here at the end of the season, and I had this sort of impression. Offensively, I don't have the data, but, you know, early in the season, scoring in the 70s maybe. Now it seems like 80, 90s, even 100. There's been maybe an uptrend in the graph. What are you seeing there?
No, I think you're absolutely right. This team has learned to play together better. They figured things out. Guys are playing with more confidence. Putting CBM in the starting lineup allows Auburn to just jump on teams early and build these double-digit leads. They led Georgia by double digits, I think, the final 35 minutes of that game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
Georgia got within, was it 12 one time, I think?
11 maybe, maybe 11 or 12. But, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy, though, Yellowhammer. I mean, They're scoring more there, but I've never seen a team win 24 games by double digits the way that Auburn has this year.
And, you know, I think they're scoring 90 to 100 against most average teams right now.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they went to Mississippi State against a really good defensive team and almost scored 80. They put up 84 in Knoxville against the best defensive team, I think, in the SEC, maybe in the country, on their home floor. So, yeah, this team can absolutely score. You have to go back to the Kentucky game. I guess it's been 3 weeks now, maybe a little bit more, where Auburn just, you know, had that one game where they just couldn't shoot, and they got beat at home. But other than that, it's been a pretty impressive run here.
Well, the other thing is, also seems like there's some other teams in the SEC that are kind of scoring up in that area. You know, we're not the NBA yet, but is there something going on?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, Alabama and Kentucky are, you know, very, very high scoring. Alabama's the number one scoring team in the nation. Yeah. And Kentucky, Kentucky's scary because they actually look like they pay
when
attention
they
a little bit defensively now. But that's a good question. I don't think it's lack of want to by coaches defensively. I just think the talent and the coaching in this conference is a dangerous combination. There are an awful lot of really, really good players.
Well, I think when you defend like Auburn too, when you emphasize defense and you force teams to work for shots the way Auburn does, there just aren't going to be as many possessions in a game as there are in, like, I think Auburn, like, compared to Alabama, Kentucky, a lot of possessions because teams put up quick shots and often score against teams like Alabama. And that's not to say, but I think if Auburn wanted to play a style of basketball where both teams score 100 and Auburn just tried to outscore teams, they could alter their philosophy and try to do that.
Oh, they could. Well, Auburn doesn't do like Alabama wants to shoot the ball before they hit the 14-second mark. I mean, they want to shoot it within the first 15 seconds that they've got it. Auburn, you know, will shoot it if they've got an open shot, but Auburn, as evidenced by the 29 assists the other day, which is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
17 in the first half. I mean, they'll make that extra pass to get an even better shot. But I don't know. I mean, I just think it's premier athletes with premier coaching.
I think some of the rule changes have also helped out the offense more so than the defense, right? The charge rules.
That's true. I'd like to see the number of free throws this year as compared to last year. Yeah. I think that's something worth looking at. It feels like there have just been more. Games seem like they're lasting a little longer.
Seems like a lot of games get taken over in the second half by foul calls. Yeah,
yeah,
it does.
Okay, well, thanks.
Appreciate the call, Yellowhammer. 334-321-1390. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in here on the Monday Drive.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon, 25 minutes away from 5 o'clock. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. And Brian, I mean, yeah, it's been fairly busy. It's really busy now. We've got SEC tournament, spring football, baseball, softball, gymnastics. I mean, we've got everything going on, it seems like, right now.
Yep.
You guys will cover every bit that you can.
And Auburn's about to host one of their biggest recruiting weekends in quite a while, too.
There's
a lot going on. Yep. And we will cover the heck out of it at AuburnSports.com.
Who's going where? Who's doing what this weekend?
Well, most of us will be at football practices and those interviews.
Only one opportunity this week, really, to
right.
Do we have a viewing window?
Tuesday.
Yeah, there's a viewing window tomorrow.
Tuesday, right. But we've got interviews Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I believe.
Tuesday, Wednesday. I think the Thursday one got dropped.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah.
You're right. Yep. Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Stoltz is going to go to Nashville and cover the SEC tournament for us. So we'll see if he's there through Sunday or not. And I'll be covering baseball and football and helping out with recruiting, of course.
Yeah, there is. Man, Nashville's going to be pretty busy this week.
Yeah,
you've got the SEC tournament. Auburn's going up there for baseball and gymnastics as well. I mean, so. It's crazy.
Be busy.
It's crazy what all's going on in Nashville this week. SEC, it's the start of SEC play for baseball. We'll get into that a little while later, and we'll talk with Cooper McMurray. SEC tournament. What were your thoughts, Brian, on the way things wrapped up? I mean, crazy to see a four-way tie for second, just one game back.
Yeah, and the way it looked for early in the day, it looked like Auburn could be in second by themselves because a couple teams, you know, nearly got beat on that final day.
Arkansas should have beaten Alabama. Yep. And then, of course, you know, Kentucky beating Tennessee for the second straight year on right. Tennessee Senior Day.
Right. And then South Carolina, was it Mississippi State that had them,
yes.
It looked like?
Yeah, well, Mississippi State kept coming back and tying it. I don't know that they were the team. South Carolina led, but State kept coming back, sent it to overtime. Yeah. So, yeah, South Carolina won in overtime. Alabama won in overtime. Yep. That's two of the three teams that Auburn tied with there for second. And then Kentucky was able to beat Tennessee.
But I still, getting that two-round bye was crucial, I think, for Auburn. I just don't think winning four games in 4 days is.
I like the pathway for Auburn.
Yeah. Well, I think the good thing is it reminds me a little bit about the 2019 NCAA tournament. You know, if Auburn can beat South Carolina or whoever it is in round one, then you potentially got a rematch with Tennessee. And a rematch for the Kentucky.
Right.
And those are two teams I think Auburn feels like, hey, we want to prove ourselves. We want to rematch. We want to get revenge. You know, we want to show that we can beat these teams.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And it should be fun there. I mean, Auburn, of course, will play the most likely. Let's see. First of all, you've got Arkansas, I feel like, should advance there in the 12-13 game.
Yeah, both those teams, Arkansas, I think Vanderbilt got a win this last week, a good win. At home. I don't remember who it was. Was it Florida?
I beat somebody. Vandy beat Florida.
Yeah, yeah. So I think both teams are playing better than they have been.
Arkansas should have beaten Alabama, but they played.
Right.
They got a win in the game before.
Yep. So I think one of those, whoever wins that game is going to give South Carolina a game, I would think, my opinion.
Because, oh, I agree.
As Pearl says, that first game is the most important because that team coming in, especially if they've only played one game and not two, they're coming in with a lot of confidence and momentum, and they played that court, so they're going to feel more at ease playing there again. Now, once you get into game three or whatever, then you start getting tired. That starts to set in, and that changes things. But I think that first game is going to be really tough.
I've been doubting South Carolina all year, and I've been wrong all
so,
year.
So has everybody?
So has everybody. I still would think, like, if you told me Arkansas-South Carolina was the game to decide Auburn's opponent, I would venture. My prediction would be Arkansas.
Yeah, mine too.
But that's I mean, but South Carolina's sitting there.
South Carolina's got the best record in the SEC. They're 25-6.
Yeah, they're probably going to be a five seed. You know, maybe a six if they don't win a game in Nashville.
And they're a team. I heard the odds on winning the SEC, and it is in order: Tennessee, Auburn, Alabama. No, Tennessee, Auburn, Kentucky, Alabama.
The tournament odds.
Florida is fifth. South Carolina has got ridiculously long odds to win the SEC tournament, and they're a team.
Arkansas could be favored in that game.
Arkansas could be favored. But, I mean, South Carolina, you talk about being able to continue to play with a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
I mean, Lamont Paris, SEC Coach of the Year, and South Carolina.
You can't even make a vote. You can't even argue for a vote for anyone else.
Absolutely not.
Like, I mean, Rick Barnes.
Absolutely not. They're picked dead last.
Great season for Rick Barnes and Nate Oates.
They're picked last, and they go 13-5, tied for second, one game back, and they were – I mean, they were an eyelash away from winning the league outright because if they had beaten Tennessee last midweek, they win the league.
Yeah.
They win the league. They would have been the only team 13-5. That would have dropped Tennessee back into that four-way tie for second. But they have no respect. So what a year it's been for South Carolina.
And Lamont Paris, I would expect, will be a candidate for other jobs potentially.
Like,
not that South Carolina is a bad job. You can win at South Carolina, but I could see Big Ten schools and Louisville. Like there are big jobs that could open up between now and the start of next season, and I think Lamont Paris will be a candidate for jobs like that. Arkansas is dangerous too because they're not going to the NCAAs unless they win this thing.
Oh, absolutely right. They're a 500 team.
Of the teams.
And 6-12 in the conference.
Of the teams that you feel like have the horses to win a couple of games this weekend, Arkansas is the one that's not a tournament team.
No, that's right.
And so if you're playing Arkansas, if you're Auburn playing Arkansas on Friday, even if it's Arkansas's third game in Nashville, that's an Arkansas team that is desperate in a way that other teams you face, South Carolina or Tennessee or Kentucky or whoever you could face in Nashville, they're not going to be desperate the way Arkansas is. So Eric Musselman has done well in March.
Yes, he has.
He's done well in March as Arkansas's coach, too. So I would think that's of the three potential matchups for Auburn, Vandy, Arkansas, South Carolina. Now, don't write off Vandy. Vandy's just beat Florida,
yep.
Beat Arkansas in Fayetteville at the end of the month, last month. Like, it's Vandy team that's coming around, too. But Arkansas, I just think people might think, oh, well, Auburn went to Fayetteville back in the first game of conference play, and that game wasn't competitive. So Auburn's got nothing to worry about if it's Arkansas.
I think that could be a very uncomfortable matchup. Although, the only thing about Arkansas is I don't know that they believe they're going to win now. I mean, they should have put Alabama away. I know Arkansas fans still want to know why wasn't there a whistle on the dunk attempt right there at the end of the game. But you get the ball back with 21 seconds in the game tied, and you have beaten Alabama the entire game, taking the ball to the hoop, and they just dribble, shoot at the last second terrible. So they can't even get a rebound. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think that Arkansas has it between the ears to win. But, hey, let's run down the – I mentioned that Jani Broome, first-team all-conference. Let's run down the basketball awards, and we mentioned your coach of the year is Lamont Paris of South Carolina. Yes, Jani Broome, the only Auburn representative on the first team. Other first-teamers, there were eight on each of the first and second teams. Mark Sears of Alabama, Zion Pullen of Florida, Antonio Reeves of Kentucky, Tolu Smith of Mississippi State, Tennessee with a pair of players, and Zakai Ziegler and Dalton Knecht, and Wade Taylor of Texas A&M. The second team, Jalen Williams of Auburn, Walter Clayton of Florida, Rob Dillingham and Reed Shepherd of Kentucky, Matthew Morrell of Ole Miss, Josh Hubbard of Mississippi State, Talon Cooper of South Carolina, along with Michi Johnson and Jonas Adu of Tennessee. The all-defensive team, Jani Broome, Cam Matthews of Mississippi State, Adu of Tennessee, Ziegler of Tennessee, and Anderson Garcia of Texas A&M. And then the all-freshman team.
Ziegler versus Broome for Defensive Player of the Year, I think, is a really close one. I understand.
Yep.
I understand Zakai Ziegler getting it over Jani Broome, but I think those two are
close. Your defensive guard or your inside or outside defensive player of the year, and they went with Zakai Ziegler.
I thought maybe because of the way that voters tend to spread the wealth around, I thought that with Connect winning player of the year, maybe a non-Tennessee player would have the inside track for defensive player of the year. That's not what happens. Zakai Ziegler gets it. And he is on the short list of the very best defensive players in all of college basketball, so I'm not that upset about it. But I spent most of this year thinking Jani Broome belonged as Defensive Player of the Year. I still do, but Ziegler's a fine choice.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Connect the Player of the Year, Ziegler the Defensive Player of the Year, Rob Dillingham of Kentucky the Sixth Man of the Year, and I was a little surprised. I mean, I know Reed Shepherd, had an outstanding freshman year. I thought Josh Hubbard was your SEC freshman year.
I did too.
I thought the Mississippi State guard would be
exciting.
The freshman of the year. But Kentucky, a better team, a bigger name, and Reed Shepherd is the freshman of the year. The scholar-athlete of the year is Sean East of Missouri. Aiden Holloway.
Earlier today, the Athletic updated their NBA draft for 2024. Reed Shepherd, the first overall pick in the 2024 NBA draft, according to the Athletic, the Spurs pairing him.
But you shouldn't be freshman of the year because you're projected to be the first pick.
No, that's just something else to think about.
I know, but that's a reason some people would do that.
No, he should not. I think that it's totally understandable to vote for Hubbard. It's because of he had maybe the best freshman season in the history of Mississippi State, and he will be, if he decides not to stay.
See, that's the craziest thing now. Somebody has a great freshman year, and they're not at and even at Blue Bloods. But, I mean, you had a great freshman year.
With his home state.
And people aren't thinking, man, what an exciting thing it's going to be to see him back next year. What the first thing everybody says is, where's he going to be now next year?
You know, can Chris Jans keep him? Right, you're talking about a guy who should have won Freshman of the Year, and the question is,
he's a Mississippi native. I mean, you know, there's sure no guarantees that he's going to stay there.
We used to talk about that with the draft, right? We used to say guys, even if he wasn't projected as a first round or second round pick, there may be money somewhere in professional basketball, so guys would leave eligibility on the table to start their pro careers probably too early. It's good that NIL is keeping players like that in college. But they're not staying.
But the tough thing for the teams that found or recruited or got those players, there's no guarantee that they're going to stay with them. So I wanted to mention the all-freshman team because Aiden Holloway's all-freshman, along with Alex Condon of Florida, Silas Demery of Georgia, Rob Dillingham, and Reed Shepherd of Kentucky. Well, D.J. Wagner, three freshmen. And that's not surprising. They had, four of the top six freshman signees in the country this past year. Three of them make the all-freshman team, along with the aforementioned Josh Hubbard and Colin Murray Boyles of South Carolina. So those are your all-conference award winners earlier today. And congratulations to the three Auburn players. Well, congratulations to all of them. But, I mean, three Auburn players on the list. Janiah Broome, first team. Jalen Williams, second team. Aiden Holloway, all-freshman. All right, we'll go ahead and get to our final break of hour number one. Again, don't forget, we're going to have our first of our baseball Tiger takes coming up at 5:30. Till then, phone lines are open. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
Since 1997, River City...
334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, and Brian here with Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. I mean, so many different things we can talk about. We've only got a couple of minutes left here. I want to get into some football because Auburn will be back on the practice field tomorrow. And this will be the week that they go into full pads, Brian.
Yeah, I got this backwards. Is it Tuesday they go hard and then Thursday they're doing the teaching?
I think that's what they're going to do, I think they may have to go another day
in shells
before they can really go full gear.
Yeah, but they'll be back at it this week. Maybe a scrimmage Saturday. We'll be out there Tuesday for some video in, and we're going to talk to players.
Lots of players, maybe.
And then assistant coaches Wednesday.
We're going to get one side of the ball one week and other side of the ball another time. So,
We get defense Wednesday. So we get D.J. Durkin.
That's good. That's good.
Trill and
some
return of Charles Kelly, the return of Wesley McGriff, and Josh Aldridge now coaching a sort of a different position with the Bucks.
It's more new info that we'll be getting with the coaches on Wednesday. So, yeah, that'll be good. But, it'll be interesting. I mean, this is one of those, everybody seems to have mixed feelings on this about taking that week break. You know, you practice for a couple of days, take a week off for spring break, and come back. And I'm sure the coaches will be wanting to see who stayed on course.
Yeah.
The best and who retains the most.
Well, I think the best thing doing it that way I think it's right, two dozen newcomers, right?
Uh-huh.
You get to teach them what they're supposed to do at practice, those first, two practices that first week. They get a week off, they come back, and you would hope that they're going to be more comfortable going through all the drills, doing everything, the way that the coaches want it done. So I think that's a bonus that way.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a fun spring. You mentioned Auburn with a big recruiting weekend coming up this next week. I got to give some credit to Kalen DeBoer and his staff. They have done pretty darn well since he's taken over as Alabama's head coach.
Yeah, they got a receiver today.
Derek Smith.
Derek Smith, there you go. Flipped Antonio Coleman, was it last week, I believe?
Yep.
They are doing well, and it looks like that's going to be a heck of a battle between him and Coach Freeze in state for some prospects. I mean, I've been covering recruiting, on a professional basis for 24 years in the state, and I've been, watching it, and being interested in it far before that. And even when Alabama was at its worst, right, with coaches who weren't average at best,
they were still
winning the state, or the best Auburn would do most of the time was 50-50.
Yep.
Now, maybe back in the Pat Dye era, that was a little bit different, but I don't know that
recruiting. A couple of times.
You
couldn't count
quantify
it.
Right. Right. But I think with Coach Freeze and the way he recruits, Auburn has a chance to win the state, although you have to give, you know, Alabama and Kalen DeBoer and their money, their power, their history.
Their brand.
Right.
Really.
Still a lot to overcome.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, we're halfway done here on the Monday Drive. Love for you to join in hour number two.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on another nice day. It looks like spring because everything is yellow.
Mm, my car included.
I'm telling you, we were just bragging about, I mean, the weather was just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Even my head is like stopped up. I know, Brian Matthews, you've had some allergy problems through the years.
They haven't hit yet, but I start taking Allegra D over the counter
in February. My wife's been you know, the Zyrtec's already being used. I mean, she's... I may have to find something like that if this continues. My head.
I could not believe. I guess it was Sunday morning.
All of a sudden,
I was here Saturday. I drove back Saturday after the game on Friday night. I mean, got some rain on Saturday, so the car was not pollinated.
No, you know what happened though? That rain really helped the pollen get in full bloom.
It was Saturday to Sunday. Saturday and Sunday, this thing turned sepia toned, right?
Yeah, like my blue car is now green. I mean, because it's
don't it make your blue car green, Bill?
It absolutely does, and it's not gonna be a whole lot better for about a month. So just get used to that. But hey, other than that, I mean, no, it's fine. I'd rather have that than
trying
severely
to remember
bad
who
weather.
Sang that song? That
was Crystal Gale.
There you go. Yes, with the hair. Yes.
Yeah, I was just thinking a little while ago when we were talking during the break about quarterbacks and teams needing a player. Where I'm thinking you could approach Mick and the Stones about it's just, you know, we're just a what away. We're just a, you know. More than a shot or a kiss away, a couple of teams. But yeah, a lot going on in the world of sports. We'd love for you to join us here in the second hour of the show, which is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika. On the web at orthoclinic.com. You can do so by one of the ways is by calling us on the Drive hotline, which is presented by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center.
It is Bill, Dan, and Brian here in the studio on a sunny at 5 o'clock. Hope everybody got their clocks all set back over the weekend. I actually remembered this time ahead of time. Last time I forgot about it till the next day and I had to go back and catch up on everything, but that's fine because you got an extra hour. This time we lost an hour. I know it's tough for folks that had to be at work early this morning, Drew. I know. It's tough for folks like that. Saw Scott went over on campus and saw the bag man for a little while earlier today. He was having to tape a class, Dan. He wasn't thrilled with that. But anyway.
You were there to use a printer, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. He did tell me about that.
My printer at home is no longer functional. So anyway. What was I going to talk about?
Huh? I just have a little trivia. Did you know where Crystal Gale's from?
The same place that her sister's from.
Loretta Lynn?
Yeah.
And Peggy Sue?
I don't know.
Okay, she's from Paintsville, Kentucky. You know who else is
Jim Fife?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, I remember when I was having to think. It's like Loretta, yeah, and Jim used to talk about being from the same hometown. That? Yeah. How about that? Yeah. Saw Crystal. Saw Crystal a couple of years ago at the Ryman. 334-321-1390. Love for you to join in. Auburn wrapping up in impressive fashion its regular season basketball wise. This past Saturday, as they handed Georgia another double-digit defeat, as Auburn has won 24 of those, 24 double-digit wins, and getting ready for, after a double bye, to play in the SEC tournament Friday afternoon. Wanted to get into...
Well, Auburn one of only five teams in Division I that does not have a loss other than Quad 1. Because every single Auburn loss this year has been a quad one loss.
Right.
They don't have a. I think they're the only team in the SEC that has only lost quad one games, and it's like it's five or six teams in all of college basketball. Auburn more double digit wins than anyone else in Division I with 24. All of Auburn's wins by at least 10 points.
Yeah, it's funny, I do believe that one of the reasons why Auburn continues to stay on the four line is because they don't have more quad one wins.
1-7 in quad one games.
1-7, and then right now here's the crazy thing: if Auburn gets South Carolina. South Carolina is barely.
Floor, right?
South Carolina is hanging in that it would be a quad one win. But if Auburn beats South Carolina, they'll probably drop out of the top 50, and it won't be a quad
Auburn,
one win.
Auburn 9-0 quad two, 9-0 quad
Auburn's
three.
Like Dan said, Auburn has not lost a game to a team that's not in
but
quad
yeah,
one.
Their only quad win at this moment is Alabama. At home.
Nathan had this one on social media earlier today. Five teams in D1 this year that have lost, that have only lost quad one games: Houston, Purdue, UConn, San Diego State, and Auburn. Houston is 13-3 in quad one games this year. Purdue is 11-3. UConn's 11-3. San Diego State is 3-9, and Auburn is 1-7. Now, six of Auburn's eight quad one games have been away from home.
Right.
This year. That's something to point out. Auburn is 1-1 at home in quad one games. I think. Is Baylor the neutral site game, and then the rest of them are road games? I believe that's correct.
That's right. With
Auburn, including App State. So there's who did not win. Will not be in the NCAA tournament. The App State eliminated by Arkansas State on I think it was yesterday. And so there's we'll see what happens there. But JMU and Ark State in the Sun Belt final later today.
In a little while, I want us to get into talking a little bit about the new college tournament that's coming this fall. But right now, let's get to the phones. 334-321-1390, and Tom gets us started. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Quick question about baseball, and I'll just hang up and let y'all discuss.
Sure.
Gonzalez, do we see him the rest of the year, or is he pretty much done? It seems like a repeat from last year. And that's really the only question I had. I'm beginning to wonder if this is more about what's going on in his own head. So just an observation. And I'll hang up and let y'all discuss.
Appreciate the call, Tom.
Well, last year was an injury. It was an impingement in his shoulder. He had surgery to repair that and has been rehabbing since then. This year has nothing to do with an injury. It's just finding
his
form.
That's the good news. Right. That's the good news. I mean, that's what Butch Thompson told us just the other day, that he is perfectly healthy.
Right. And what they looked at with him when he struggled a week ago Saturday was his stride was about 6 inches shorter than it usually is, and he was not rotating his hips like he normally does. So they worked a lot on his lower body and getting those fundamentals straight this week. He is going to throw to live pitching. He threw a bullpen, I think it was Thursday or Friday. He'll throw to live pitching later today or maybe right now during practice. And then they're going to make an assessment and decide whether or not they feel like he can start or pitch this weekend. But I would be very, very surprised if he doesn't come back this weekend or fairly soon. This is not a issue, I think, that's necessarily something that's going to keep him out a whole season.
No,
we hope not.
No, I think right now Butch and Everett Tiefert, the pitching coach, I think they're feeling it's purely mechanical. I mean, part of it, but you're right. I mean, it has to be mental.
Sure.
You've seen many, many times pitchers that have an arm, some kind of problem with their their arm, their shoulder, their elbow, whatever, compensating with other things. And as he was working his way back, I'm sure things change a little bit. You change because it doesn't feel the way it used to. He wasn't having a problem with velocity early.
Mm-hmm.
Last start, he didn't have the velocity, right. and he was nowhere nearly as sharp as usual. When he hits the first batter of the ball game, then walks a guy, that's not Joseph Gonzalez. No. That's him trying to aim, or something is not right. And, you know, hopefully they get the mechanics straightened out, and that, you know, that builds some confidence right. in him. But I can tell you this, Butch has, I mean, you talk about somebody who is concerned and wants to take care of his pitchers. Yes. That's Butch Thompson. They don't want to put Joseph back out there, even if he's 100% healthy, if they feel like he's not ready mentally. I mean,
right.
that's the key, is to for him to have that confidence. He's always been a bulldog of a competitor. And, you know, I'm sure we'll mention Joseph when we talk to Cooper McMurray here at the bottom of the hour. But, I mean, he is a huge factor for Auburn because yeah. We were talking off the air a little while ago, Brian. This team thus far, you know, when you looked at the team coming into the season, you felt, man, the depth on the pitching staff.
Yes.
And let's wait and see how some of the newcomers and the lineup works out. Well, Auburn's been pounding the ball, and they have pop up and down the lineup. They have speed. They've had a couple of games where defense has been a problem, but the pitching has not been up to this point, I think, what anyone expected.
No, it hadn't. It's kind of the opposite of what we thought coming in. Chase Alsup has been the Friday starter. He has shown glimpses of being a dominating player, but it's just inconsistency. Right. He'll go one or two good innings, and then it's just the total opposite in the third inning or whatever right. inning it is. So that's a problem. Joseph Gonzalez not being able to return to his form from 2 years ago is another problem. Carson Myers has been good. He struggled Saturday, moving up a day. They've got a freshman in Cam Tilley who I think is really good.
Really like him.
Christian Herberholtz has been an SEC starter for Auburn. He pitched. He started Sunday and was solid.
Gave up a two-run homer in the first, and I think gave up one hit after
right.
that.
Yeah. So I mean, they've got some guys, and then you know, bullpen wise, Will Cannon, they felt like going in was going to be one of the best closers in the SEC, but he just hasn't had enough work, and he hasn't really found it yet. But, you know, you got John Armstrong, who got off to a great start. I know he had a bad outing Saturday.
Hey, look, everybody had a bad outing Saturday for Auburn. I mean, offensively, defensively, on the mound. But I really thought that the way they came out yesterday, and especially, boy, you went, oh, no, when, you know, they get a first inning home run.
And like, oh,
to
God,
start
here we
the
go
game
again.
after you got pounded the day before.
That was wild.
And Butch said that was the worst game he's been around as Saturday's an Auburn head coach. Yeah. Saturday's game was. And then Auburn put 24 on the board. Didn't have an inning where they scored fewer than two runs.
And you know, you got Tanner Bounderman, too, who hasn't pitched a whole lot this year, right, who's been terrific and will probably pitch a whole lot in SEC. I think he's a guy they could probably throw Friday and Sunday, you know, and those moments of a game when you have to get outs or you have to have one, two, or three innings, he can do something like that. So I still think there is potential for this pitching staff to come together, but they've got to sort out the starters first.
Yeah, you look at the schedule that's coming up starting. Woo! I mean, starting tomorrow night. I mean,
there's no break.
Up at Trash Panda Stadium with Troy, but I mean, at Vandy.
Yep.
What is the order of the first few series? It's like
It's crazy. It's at Vandy, then Arkansas back here. Arkansas has one of the best pitching staffs
Arkansas
in the country.
Number one in the coaches' poll at the moment.
Then you go to Texas A&M, which Texas A&M is averaging. I mean, I'm exaggerating here, but it feels like they're averaging 15 runs a game. I don't know exactly what it is, but they are knocking the cover off the ball. Then it's Tennessee back at home.
Yeah.
So that's one. Yeah. That's 10, and then one, and then four, and then six.
Yeah.
In the current coaches.
Yeah. Then, Vandy is the lowest of those four.
Yeah.
And then finally, you get Kentucky at home.
Kentucky receiving votes, but not currently ranked.
Right.
Yeah. Auburn is
still
Auburn
a solid
is,
team.
So Auburn is 19.
Auburn's 12-3.
Yeah, Auburn's 19 in the coaches poll that was released today, the top 25, the USA Today poll, which is the good news is that you're the 19th best team in the country. The bad news is that gets you 8th place in the SEC because you have...
How many are in the top 10, though? It was at one point there were 6 teams in the top 10.
SEC teams in the top 25 right now. South Carolina's at 20. Auburn's at 19. Bama's at 12, Florida's at 11, Vandy's at 10, Tennessee is at 6, A&M is at 4, LSU is at 2, and Arkansas is 1.
Yeah.
Oh. So 6 of the top 12 teams in the country are SEC teams.
Yep. Auburn has a very, very tough schedule, so they're going to have to – I think they're a competitive team. I do. I think defensively they're – normally pretty good, especially in the infield.
The wind had an awful lot to do with some of those.
Trojans also got a couple of votes. So the team you play tomorrow also got a couple of votes.
They looked like they had Alabama beaten the other day, and Alabama came back and beat them. That will be a heck of a ball game, I think, tomorrow night. All right, we need to get to our first break. Tex, hang on. You're up when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
The City of Auburn's household.
Live at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive, 19 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Monday with Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, Drew at the controls, and we'll head to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar and Tex. Hey, Tex.
Hey, gentlemen. How are y'all doing today?
Doing all right. Great. Hey, good to hear from you, Tex.
Good. Well, thanks. Hey, you left something off the list of good things that happened yesterday, by the way. Ben Shore got his first ever college stint on the mound.
Yep.
Threw 3 pitches, all for strikes. And if you know the story, Ben is from Columbus, Georgia. He was a catcher. Been through a few injuries and is working his way back, but he lost his father last year, who tailgates with us in our group right by the parking garage up there for football games. And I played ball with his dad growing up in Columbus at Eastern Little League and East Columbus Babe Ruth. And that kid has worked hard. And to see the video, and I communicated with a little bit with him last night, is to see the video of him throwing those 3 strikes. I hope he gets an opportunity, but what a great Butch always does kind of things like this. And to get that kid in and for him to have that success, it's quite remarkable. So,
hey, I tell you what. I mean, anybody who could, was throwing strikes, there were some more folks that got opportunities, and I think it's a great thing for them, because let's face it, there are going to be some more opportunities available.
Without question. So it's interesting playing that game tomorrow night. The Power Five playing against an SEC school, Troy is going to play extremely hard.
Yep.
I don't know who they're going to pitch or how they're going to pitch. Typically, Power Five schools have better staffs that pitch in the midweek than the smaller schools, so it's going to be very interesting to see how that works.
Brian was just checking, and they've got I don't know how many innings he's thrown, but they've got a youngster who is or a guy that's got a 1.69 ERA.
Right-hander Garrett Gaines, 1-0, 1.69 ERA versus Connor McBride for Auburn, 2-0,
2.63. Well, who did he pitch against would be my question.
Right.
The kid from Troy.
Right.
I
don't know.
So, but in you're right, Nashville, with this weather cycle we've been going through, may be a nasty weather place for this weekend. I don't know what the forecast is for, but we had Saturday here, we had 50 degrees and 20-mile-an-hour winds. That's cold. So I hope they get decent weather.
Before we move on, when you said that name, it's sort of like the other day when I saw the name of the Austin Peay pitcher, and I went, God, that's interesting that they've got a guy's name reminds me of Andy Devine, and it turns out it looks like Andrew Devine, who started the other day, is the great-grandson of Andy Devine. But did you hear Brian say the last name of the young man?
Gaines.
Gaines.
No, I did not.
He's from Cairo, Georgia.
Uh-oh. Well, he was a Maybe he was up. Let me see if I can find
it
out.
It says he's the son of Barry Gainis, but I would say he's related. He's related to Trey Gainis. Yeah.
But he was a freshman All-American in 2021. He was a Friday night starter in 2022. Looks like he didn't.
He was hurt last year,
so yeah, probably an injury. So he's probably coming back from that. So
he's a guy. He's a guy who had a 2.98 ERA as a Friday night starter for Troy 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay.
All right. Well, changed my mind about last year. So I wish our Friday night starter could find whatever the magical juice is and get back to.
Yeah. No kidding.
The Joseph Gonzalez we've always seen. So. I don't know what he's going through, but I hope he finds it because that kid was as good. He reminded me a lot of Greg Maddux with the way he pitched and the pitches he threw. So I hope that he can find his way back. Yeah. I will tell you, going back up to Vanderbilt, I don't know if any of y'all have ever been to their park. I went and watched the practice on the Friday before the football game. The park is tight because of where it's built. It's built between – Where their football stadium is on one side, and they're expanding the hospital on the right field side. So there's buildings everywhere up around. You ever been to Camden Yards? That's what it looks like. It looks like they just dropped the park right in the middle of buildings everywhere. So it's going to be interesting because the weather could be very challenging up there, and I hope it's not. But what a difficult start, and then come home. We'll be there for the Arkansas series.
Awesome.
But what a very difficult start, and including a road trip to LSU, who's been pitching pretty well, too.
Yeah.
So, anyway, to basketball for a couple things. Just personal opinion, I didn't like Kim Mulkey when she played at Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
I like her less now. If Auburn wanted to hire her, I would not be happy about it. Not that that would really matter. I have a spouse that played against her in high school and college who doesn't care for her. And if our team acts like that team acts, I would rather be a tournament team like we're going to be this year on the ladies' side and act the right way than act the way that LSU team acts.
Hey Tex, should I, at the beginning of the show, I suggested that there should have been a statement from LSU about the young man who was arrested at the game, the family member.
The guy who hopped the table. Yeah.
What were they thinking?
I wonder if LSU should say something about him not being welcome at LSU basketball games or something. I don't know what LSU says.
He should be banned from every arena.
Yeah.
Who's his sister?
It's Flo-J's. It's
Flo-J's.
Yeah, it's Flo-J's sister.
Okay.
So Flo-J's brother. Flo-J is his sister. So it's I've never met Kim Mulkey. I know people who have met her before, and I wonder how much of the public persona is an act. But when I see her interact with like halftime, you know, with the journalists, when I see her being interviewed by sideline reporters and things, I just think, boy, it's got to be a nightmare being her waiter. Right, like being her waiter or being her.
Yeah, you're right.
Being the bellhop or something. Like I can't, you know, just gives off the vibe of mean to service industry employees.
Well, and she was that way when she played at Louisiana Tech, because Tech and Auburn played a lot back in those days, and she was exactly the way she is as a coach. Now the flamboyance, she's brought back a lot of fire for women's basketball here at LSU. I mean. It's big here, but to accept that, I just don't understand it. I know it's a very physical game and it's gotten physical, but it's playing physical is one thing. Playing thuggish is the next step up, and I think they play thuggish. And I've watched the last second of basketball. I'll watch unless Auburn's playing LSU in the finals one year. I would probably watch that, but I think both to only have one person thrown out during that melee, by the way, is a travesty.
Both benches were ejected, but the players involved in the initial skirmish, the only one who was ejected was the South Carolina player who came and shoved Loja. Yeah.
Well, one technical foul out of that whole thing.
Yeah,
one's a foul. One's a that. And the issue is, and I'll give Coach Mulkey this, she did say at that stage of the fourth quarter, one foul against each team had been called, and they were knocking each other all over the floor. They're more worried, and I truly believe this in today's world, the officials are more excited about being on TV than they are about officiating the game. And they get to have a microphone now in basketball, and they get to review everything. Review, I think, may be ruining the game because they don't get into the game and call the game. They're leaning on the review. So it's sad. I would suspend both coaches, actually. Both their benches basically emptied. And it wasn't just one, it was two. And to have a coach go to a press conference and say, you should have hit the bigger girl instead of the smaller girl. Well, you shouldn't have hit either one of them, but the bigger girl wasn't the one that caused the issue. She was defending her play.
Right. You were hoping for something more like a condemnation of everything that occurred, yeah, rather than what Coach Mulkey actually said. And
justify.
Yeah, not to let Don Staley off the hook either. Yeah, I think everybody could have represented themselves better. And
I agree.
I think
I'm not letting her off the hook, but her team plays a little bit differently. They're physical, but they're not cheap, I don't find. Having watched them, we have a friend who has a niece that plays on that team. We've watched them on a regular basis. They're physical. I don't find them as – the only term I can think of is thuggish, is the way LSU plays, which is the way we're going to get played in the Southeastern Conference, by the way. The grab and hold is turned into the way people think that they can beat Auburn. Georgia did it the other night. And also in the NCAA tournament, people are going to play us extremely physical.
Yeah.
So, and I hope we don't buy into that game. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Didn't mean to go lengthy like this. By the way, Bill, one of your neighbors had the tickets on Sunday and had a blast.
Cool. That's good.
All right.
All right.
All right, guys. Y'all take care.
Talk to you soon, Tex.
All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break. Sorry about that, Brett. If you, we've got our Tiger takes coming up. Hopefully we can catch up with Brett in just a little while. But stay tuned. Cooper McMurray joins us when we come back here for the final half hour of the Monday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. And right now it's time for another of our Tiger Takes segments, brought to you by the Alsobrook Law Group. When you need legal assistance, call Zach. He's got your back, or find him on the web at alsolaw.com. And we are pleased as we start our baseball Tiger Takes to be joined by Auburn first baseman Cooper McMurray. Cooper, it's Bill, Dan. We've got Brian Matthews from Auburn Sports here in the studio. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Man, we're doing fine. Well, we're not doing as well as you've been doing. I mean, what a start to the season! And yesterday at the ballpark,
yeah, we haven't gone yard lately.
No. Well, yesterday at the ballpark,
maybe with a mower, but that's about it.
How many times in your career have you been able to say, "Yeah, I'm 3-for-3 with two doubles and a homer in the first four innings, all off lefties"?
Not a whole lot. I don't think ever, to be honest with you.
Man, what a great bounce back it was yesterday after, quite frankly, I mean, a nightmarish want to just forget about ball game on Saturday. Butch Thompson called probably the worst game he's been around since he's been an Auburn head coach.
Yeah, what was the mood like Saturday? Butch Thompson talked about, you know, how it was a game that folks were eager to forget, and you guys had another matchup with him on Sunday. What was it like after the game Saturday? What was the mood in the locker room, and how'd you guys bounce back to play so well on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, it was we knew it was going to be a quick turnaround, so we honestly tried to forget about it as soon as possible. But you know, those things settle in for a little bit. But the locker room mood wasn't too good after the game. But you know, we got good leaders in that locker room and clubhouse, and you know, that we were able to, you know, flush it and bury it and never think about it again because it's baseball and weird stuff like that will happen every now and then. But, you know, we all know how Auburn baseball is supposed to be played. And so our leadership stood up and, you know, we kind of buried it together and said we're going to come to the ballpark tomorrow with a new mindset and a fresh face and get after these guys tomorrow. So that's what we were able to do.
And you guys surely did, although there was a little bit of a murmur in the crowd after the first two batters at the top of the first, you know, an E and a bomb, and it's like, oh, crap. But then, I mean, you guys come out and put up at least two runs in every inning, including, oh, by the way, an eight spot and a seven spot. So, I mean, it had to feel good to get a little redemption because that was an Austin Peay team that was, I think they were feeling pretty good about themselves going to the bottom of the first yesterday.
Yeah, I think they definitely were, but you know, and yeah, we had a rough stretch of about 10 innings, but you know, Christian Herberholtz was able to put the ball in the zone, and our bats kind of woke up a little bit, so it was good. It was a good series win for that. That's a good Austin Peay program, so it's a good series win for us.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. Austin Peay is
yeah, you could see that
they're competitive. Yeah. There's no question about that. You mentioned the bats in the lineup. We've been talking about it some all year, but especially today. I mean, after you have a 24-run game, you got to do it. But, I mean, it's not just the first time. We talked with Gabe earlier this year just about the juice that there is in this lineup from top to bottom. I mean, it's one that's got to be tough for pitchers to try to work through.
Yeah, you know, we got a crap ton of depth in this lineup, and you know, 1 through 9 can leave the ballpark at any time. And but also you got guys like Mason Manners and Javon who can lay down a perfect drag bunt at any time too. So yeah, it's a dangerous group. It's a mature group who know what their job at the plate is and their approach and what clicks for them. So, you know, I'm looking forward to SEC play, and I think the whole lineup is, to be honest with you.
Before we get more into to Auburn, let's give folks a little background on Cooper McMurray. You've got a pretty solid baseball family.
Yes, sir, definitely. The funny part about that is my mom's actually the most athletic person in our family.
Amazing how that happens.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. She played college tennis, and then my dad played college baseball. But yeah, my two brothers. One finished his career last year at Oral Roberts,
right,
with an Omaha run, and my little brother is a senior in high school this year.
Oh boy,
he's also committed to play at Oral Roberts. So yeah, it's a baseball household for sure.
Man, no question. Well, you started your career at Auburn. Just talk about the decision to make that move a year ago and head to Auburn.
Yeah, you know, it's a weird college athletics name right now because it's the whole transfer portal and NIL and all that. But you know, I entered my name in the transfer portal, and Coach Nonnemaker reached out to me, and you know, who doesn't want to play baseball in the SEC? And you know, I got to talk to them and the coaching staff, and that's really what sold it. Was, you know, Coach Thompson is one of the best leaders I've ever been around, and he's a builder of men, and that's what this is all about. Not building just baseball players, but great men and great families and great husbands. So that's what this is about. And talking to my family, and you know, we thought this was the best move for personal life, and it's worked out great so far.
Talking with Auburn first baseman Cooper McMurray as part of Tiger Takes here on the Monday edition of The Drive, brought to you by the Alsobrook Law Group. Cooper, we talk a lot about the transfer portal and how it's impacted every sport in college athletics. You switched schools before last season. You got to spend this entire offseason with Auburn. How is the offseason different when you are sticking around and getting to sort of focus on, you know, when you get to be a veteran? You know, because I imagine it's there's so much roster transfer, there's so much roster turnover now, and we talk about in other sports how the off season is different when you get to when you get to stick around and spend another year at the same program.
Yeah, it's definitely less stressful, but it was good. It was good to, you know, be in Auburn this summer. I got to come back and work some camps and, you know, meet all the new freshmen that were moving in and doing summer school. So it was good to be around and, you know, be an older face for these new guys and, you know, try to be a leader as much as I can and welcome them to Auburn with open arms and, you know, kind of set the tone early. And so it was very helpful to be in Auburn and just focused on Auburn University.
One of the things we were talking about a little while ago, and you mentioned it when you were talking about the lineup, the threats that there are, but this is an offense I think that has the capabilities of really consistently putting up good numbers, because you've got not just pop, you guys have speed and the ability to hit the ball where it's pitched.
Yeah, it's a mature lineup, and we know what works for us. No one really tries to do too much. And, you know, even a guy like Ike Irish, who's one of the top three hitters in college baseball, can lay down a perfect drag bunt or a perfect push bunt for you at any given time. So it's good to have that flexibility with this lineup and, you know, fight all the pitchers every pitch so we can get on base and keep things moving.
Now, what have you seen out of Ike in his first full off season as a college baseball player too? Where has he improved since last season ended?
Oh, he's just a baseball rat. I mean, he's always hitting in the cages. He's always trying to get the extra work in, and that's why he's been so successful. But I think the biggest thing this year is he's hitting the ball out of the ballpark more. Mm. I think he's leading the team right now in homers, which I'm gonna have to talk to him about that. but yeah, he's putting the ball out of the ballpark and producing those runs for us, which is gonna be huge all year. And I'm excited for his season and his future.
All right, let's talk about the other guys, the guys on the mound. I mean, I know everybody, we've already had a couple of questions today about Joseph, and Butch was telling us the other day that he was going to throw again this afternoon. He could be a big piece for this team as you head into SEC play.
Yeah, definitely. Joseph's one of the top pitchers in the country for a reason. And, you know, I think when he's healthy, there's no ceiling for him, like we all saw a couple years ago when he led the team to Omaha. So, you know, getting him back has been huge, and, you know, they're still working with him on some things, but, you know, he's been looking good, and I'm excited for it too, because it's him throwing Saturday or Sunday is perfect when we're trying to win a series or even one or, you know, sweep a series. So it's huge to have him on the mound and the confidence that he brings.
Yeah, and the good news for everybody is that he's healthy. I mean, that's a concern. We had somebody wondering, oh my goodness, is it last year again? It's known that it's not an injury this time. It's just, you know, trying to get him back to himself.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't thrown in a game in over a year, and so it takes some time. But, you know, I believe in Joseph, and our training staff is the best in the country. So, you know, I think he'll be fine, and once he gets all of his things worked out, he's gonna be great.
Now I know our sponsor talks about this is a hard hitting, no nonsense interview with our players.
Some
This is radio. Come on, yeah. I mean, there's obviously got to be some nonsense. No, here's something I was thinking about the other day. It's a little odd that there is a lineup and that has two Coopers in it. How many times have you been in a lineup with another Cooper?
This is the first time. It's been weird around the locker room because someone will say Cooper and we'll both look, and then it'll be like, oh, not that one, the other one. So it's been confusing at times, but, you know, it's awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah, I just wondered if there was like a nickname that either one of you had that we'd know, you know,
what about to expect. What about New Cooper for the new guy?
We've been doing that, and Big Coop and Little Coop.
I like it.
Well, there's also two Connors with a K.
I know.
Really,
I know,
gets
it's
me.
Crazy. Yeah. A lot of the sounds, yeah.
And a Connor with a C, yep.
Yeah.
No, really looking forward. We were just talking about the way that the conference is represented in the top 25 in a couple of polls. Where Auburn, I mean, Auburn's 19, and you look at least in the most recent coaches poll, Auburn's 19, and you look and there's eight SEC teams. You know, ahead of Auburn, there's 10 total SEC teams
in the top 20.
In the top 25. I mean, this is a gauntlet, and that includes the first four teams you guys face in conference play. Is there Is there a feeling of, was there urgency in the non-conference play this year with the understanding you guys were going to have to hit the ground running when league play gets going with some of the best teams in college baseball on the schedule to begin SEC play?
A little bit, but I think that I think Coach Thompson did a great job putting our non-conference schedule together. You know, we went to Jacksonville and played an Iowa team with a top 10 pick on the mound, and then we played a really solid Virginia team, and Wichita State's a scrappy bunch. And then, you know, we had a series with UConn and Austin Peay, and I mean, those are two great programs. And so I think it's really just playing the same game. You know, just because we're playing top 15 teams in the country doesn't mean we got to change how we're playing. It's the same game, and that's what Coach Thompson's trying to get through to us this week and for the next following weeks. Baseball's the same game, and so it's just coming out, being ready to play and being ready to attack anything that comes our way. So I think we've been growing as a team and as a group, so it's really exciting to get to this point. And you know where we are, we've been playing good baseball, so it's really exciting.
Fun week, road trip, starting up in North Alabama with Troy tomorrow night there at Trash Panda Stadium before you head up to Nashville to take on Vandy this weekend.
Yeah, that game tomorrow is going to be a great game. I think Troy might be ranked in a couple polls, and it's a solid group. So, yeah, we got to get after it tomorrow, and then we'll look forward to the weekend in Nashville.
Yeah, Troy's throwing a guy that looks, I believe, was their Friday night start a year before last before he got hurt. So they're throwing. And then you've got Connor, who's really pitched well here in midweeks going tomorrow night.
Yeah, we're all excited about Connor, and he's been shoving the ball in the strike zone. So hopefully he does that tomorrow, and you know the defense will pick him up behind him. So, and hopefully we can keep the bats rolling.
All right, Big Coop, we appreciate it. There will be a little nonsense. Got to be. I mean, it's baseball. If you don't have some fun when you're doing
it. You got to have fun.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
We're looking forward to spending Monday afternoons with you during the season. Go ahead.
Social media
program? That's exactly what I was about to do.
We're bad about asking the athletes on Tiger Takes to promote their social media at the end of the
season. What do you mean we're bad about it? We do it.
Do we do it?
Is that bad?
Okay. I feel like we forgot a couple of times during football season. And so I wanted to let Cooper be sure to tell everybody how they can follow him and everything he does on social media.
Yes, I will, definitely.
Oh, that, dude, this is the part.
Well, you can go ahead.
This is the part where you do it, Cooper.
Yeah.
what do you want me to say?
Like, no, just let folks know how they can follow you.
Oh, my Instagram is cmcmurray_, and my Twitter would be at coopmc9. And that's about it. That's the only two social medias I have. So.
Well, that's what we wanted. Hey, man, again, we really appreciate you spending some time with us. Good luck this week, and we'll talk to you next time.
All righty. Thank you guys so much.
Cooper McMurray joining us here, the first, hopefully, of many.
This is going to be
they're going to let us continue with this.
No, this is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Cooper's absolutely
great.
Right.
Really, really appreciate the time, Cooper. Great stuff.
Tiger Takes, proudly presented each Monday at 5:30 by the Alsobrook Law Group on the web at alsolaw.com. We need to get to our final break, thank goodness, of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
U.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes of the drive here on this Monday afternoon. And it is still afternoon. We've got plenty of sunlight after the show is done because we are now on daylight savings time. Let's just go ahead and make up our minds. Stick with it, all right? Wanted to get some thoughts on the tournament, the NIL tournament that's coming up. What are they going to call it? The Players Era.
Oh, is this
tournament?
The one with money on the line for the winner?
That's going to have eight teams this fall, and the money's going to go to the players' NIL.
We're getting into very strange places with NIL.
We are.
I mean, the rumor, I think the rumor that Fox may offer Caitlin Clark an NIL deal to stay in college basketball for another year because she would be playing on the Fox Network if she stays in the Big Ten, and if she goes to the WNBA, she would no longer be on the Fox Network. The idea of a TV network endorsing an athlete to stay in college basketball.
Well, that's what NIL should be all about, though.
Oh, sure.
I mean that is her.
But it's just a bizarre
image and likeness. But it's
a bizarre sort of partnership. To keep a player in college. So I think we're going to get into very odd spaces and tournaments or bowl games where there's money on the line for the winner. To me, it's a gray area as far as amateurism goes because I thought one of the things about amateurism was that the winner and the loser, like there's not a reward, a financial reward for the winner. But
with NIL has sort of made that even grayer, though,
I guess,
because everybody
not...
doesn't get the same thing. Let's quickly see if we can get in with Anthony. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, guys. You know, as far as somebody, everybody don't get the same thing. Well, that's anything. As the company I work for, quite naturally, the CEO is going to get the $2 million salary, and people on the hem is going to go down to 1.5. Then you get to a million, then you get 800,000, and then trickle on down. Some people going to have a 100,000 salary, and I'm going to have a $60,000 salary. So, I mean, that's just how life works. But look at him. When you got colleges keep hauling in non-profit organizations, but yet having a $25 or $50 million profit we talked about in the past, that don't sound like anybody that's hungry for money. I mean, starving for money. When you're having that kind of profit margin left over after you're paying bills out of a $200 million gross revenue coming in every year in that athletic department, and these coaches making $10 million, the ones up there, the big time, and everybody in the average making $5 million, and all the money comes in. So I think it's a great idea. Caitlin Clark can come back and stay one more year and use that.
Anthony, I think we're getting closer to, and I think Jay Billis talked about this recently, the idea of, we're approaching a world where the conferences you may see student athletes, like if we're getting to employment, they're going to become employees of the conference, and that's sort of where the media deal will pay their salaries. The schools don't want to employ the athletes. Maybe the conference can serve as a middleman. That's where this drive for unionship may end up.
Yep. Appreciate the call. Great stuff, Anthony. Brian, before we run out, of time, let everybody know again how they can keep up with everything you guys are doing.
Check us out, auburnsports.com. Follow me on Twitter/X and Threads at BMATAU.
And we will be back tomorrow, maybe we'll both be on time. I apologize for the late start today. Yeah, well, traffic, got to get used to everybody being back from spring break. But we'll be back with you tomorrow. Let's see. I don't know. I don't know what the status of Andy, since there's a ball game tomorrow. But we should have Jake in hour number two. Hopefully you'll join us as well. That's going to do it for the Monday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.